hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and on the phone with me is my buddy Rodney. He was on the Explorer Ventures Live Aboard trip in the Turks and Caicos with me a couple years ago, along with Mermaid Nikki. It was my first Explorer Ventures Live Aboard, and he was one of the passengers on board that we got to know throughout the week. Rodney, welcome to Scuba Radio. How you doing?
Great to talk to you, Greg.
Now, you just got back from the Galapagos Explorer Ventures trip there, and we got to talk about this, Rodney, because it's definitely on my list of places to go dive, and I hope to mark it off the list here in 2010 on the Humboldt Explorer Ventures' new live aboard they plan to launch. I think they're hoping, second half of 2010, thereabouts, May, June, that time frame. However, you are on the vessel that they got sailing now, which is a very capable boat. What's it called?
Estrella de Mar, which means Star of the Sea.
Star of the Sea. Nice. Now, I've talked to you a little bit off the air about this adventure. It definitely ranked right up there with the best of the best from your personal experience, though, right?
Greg, it was awesome. I mean, if you want to guarantee, close as you can get in diving, that you're going to see the biggest of the whale sharks, this is the place, Darwin. We had about 18 sightings, probably 6 to 8 or 9 actual whale sharks, but I couldn't count them.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you want, and other big fish action, big critters, this is the place.
Yeah, now, and you're talking about whale sharks, not just your average whale shark or small whale sharks. You're talking about massive ones in the 30-foot-plus range. Is that what you were telling me you've
Greg,
seen?
Greg, I'm telling you 50 to 60, and I'm not telling you a fishtail. I mean, I saw the only time I'd ever seen a whale shark was Richelieu Rock in Thailand in November of 93, and that one, I loved it, but it was only 20 feet. I mean, these were huge.
Unbelievable. 40, 50-foot long whale sharks. And you had about 18 sightings throughout the week. And you said...
Well, that's in 2 days at Darwin.
Oh, in just 2 days. Wow. And were they just cruising around feeding on the plankton or whatever that's thick through the water there or what?
Yeah, you got real strong currents and cold water. And it's part of their route. It's their special spot, apparently. And, of course, there are a lot of hammerheads and eagle rays and Galapagos sharks and other sharks. It's pretty wild.
Well, you are in the Galapagos, so you got to see a Galapagos shark or two, I'm guessing, right?
You got it.
Yes. Yeah, so, it's known for big animal encounters, this part of the world. And I've read, I've seen videos, I've never been there. It's definitely a place I hope to go here next year. And obviously you're backing up that... You know, that whole impression I have is that it should be at the top of every diver's list, right?
I think you're correct on that. I've always wanted to do it, and sort of the same day I found out about a cancellation and availability, I had a stock go up, and I read about it being the 150th anniversary of the publication of Origin of the Species. I had to go.
Well, there you go. And matter of fact, if you go to exploreventures.com or call them up, you can do exactly what Rodney did because, you know, this trip, this itinerary in particular, does have a tendency to sell out many, many months and weeks in advance. However, every once in a while, they'll have a space or two pop up because of a cancellation and that kind of thing. So you need to stay on your toes if you want to travel that part of the world and contact the folks at Explorer Ventures and make sure you're on that list. Now, Now, Rodney, what about, well, I'll tell you what, let's just walk through this itinerary a little bit, because I've never been to that part of the world, and then we can talk about sure. maybe some of the conditions and some of these other critters other than the whale sharks and Galapagos sharks that you encountered. You fly into, what, Ecuador?
You have a choice of either Quito or Guayaquil. I flew to Quito, and I spent about a day and a half in Quito before then flying to Baltra, which is the main island you usually fly to. You have some itineraries, some boats, and it's even an option sometimes with Explore Ventures, San Cristobal, but we flew to Baltra.
Okay, and that so you go from Miami to?
To Quito.
Okay, and then to Balta or whatever.
Baltra. In the Galapagos, which is about a four-hour flight from Miami.
Okay, all right. So that's not too shabby. So you get there and you get adjusted and hop on board
boat. Yeah, Quito is 4 hours, and then you got about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours to the Galapagos.
Okay. And but it's easy enough to get to. You just got to, you know, plan for the extra jump there on the flight more
Correct.
To get to the Galapagos Islands there.
It's not like going to Australia.
Yeah, okay, good. And so you get on the boat, and then the first thing you have to do is like a full day of crossing to get to the...
Well, they do a checkout dive that afternoon after lunch.
Okay.
To get you accustomed to the cooler water, to the weights. One of the things is that, according to the dive master, the salinity is 25% greater than most ocean destinations. And So you have to adjust your weighting for that. Plus, of course, the water temperature we had basically was 65 to 72, but there were times that we had 60 degrees.
Yeah. So were you wetsuiting it or dry suiting it?
I was doing a 3 mil vest, 5 mil hood, and a 5 mil wetsuit.
Okay. So you could consider seriously doing a dry suit thing if you wanted to.
Yeah, but there wasn't anybody on the boat using a dry suit.
Yeah, they would have been called a wuss.
Yeah,
like me. So I don't. But what about the water temp? Did they tell you is this like this time of year? It's a little cooler. Is it warmer or what?
It was a little cooler and getting cooler. Like I say, it was basically 65 to 72, but we had thermoclines that must have been 60 and might have even been colder than that.
All right, so a little cooler water, but that's what you know, the big animals like, and that's what draws them in, I'm guessing, too. So you got to take the good with the bad and just prepare properly, right?
That's right, and you got to be prepared for the currents. I mean, as I told you in our conversation, after a tune-up on Explore Ventures Liverboard in the Bahamas, I realized that I needed to change fins, and I needed to upgrade what I was wearing. No more split fins to deal with those kind of currents.
Yeah, Galapagos are not known for entry-level diving experiences. You got to be a little bit, you know, well, properly trained to deal with current situations and things like that. Now, is it one of those things where the currents are so strong where they give you one of these, you know, hooks that you hook onto a rock and so you can stay suspended in one spot, or it's not necessarily that intense?
Well, they don't do the hooks. I've used hooks at Cocos and at Palau, but we didn't have to have hooks. You could pretty much lay in behind the rocks and rest and wait for 20, 30 minutes until you took off into the deep.
Got it. All right. So you just use some structure there to shield yourself from the current, and that usually was available.
Right. The key, Greg, is getting down quickly. So you have to really just... You do a back roll off the panga, and you just have to really kick it down, you know, not a normal descent.
Now, panga, what do you mean panga? You mean like the dinghies, the dive dinghies?
Yeah, they carry about 8 divers and 1 dive master and then a driver.
Oh, okay.
Helps people get back in the boat.
Okay, so all the diving is off of these pangas. See, you don't go off the back of the liveaboard boat.
No, and let me tell you, they had this one guy on there who helped you into the panga, because I've always been a little nervous in open water getting into those things. And it was just like I was dancing into the panga by the end. I was so confident in his strength.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that. I mean, you know, the Explorer Ventures, they always run a top-notch operation, and all the people that work with them, as we found out over the past, I have no doubt that's the same in the Galapagos. So, all right. So you're diving off these pangas. So I'm guessing because they can maneuver in closer to these areas like Darwin and Wolfwing, and what?
Oh yeah,
close
generally
to
a 10 to 15 minute ride from the mothership.
Okay.
On the panga.
Yeah.
And you know, they have everybody do a back roll at the same time and get down quickly and protect it behind the rocks. You wait, and depending on the current, the conditions, the dive master may wait 15, 20, 30 minutes. And he has a shaker, and every time he sees something big or something to look at, he shakes it. And at some point, you go out in the blue, and who knows what you might see.
Yeah, so let's run through the itinerary. After you do your checkout dive there, when you get to the boat, they do that right there in the bay, I'm guessing?
That's correct.
And then you hop back on the boat after you get all your equipment all squared away, and then they head out on an overnight run?
No, actually not. It's not very far. It's just like a little few minutes hop where to North Seymour where you do two dives
okay.
in the morning.
All right.
And it's after that that you do the hop, the big hop, which is to Darwin, which is 20 hours.
20-hour run.
Correct.
So that can be a rough ride, depending on the time of year and the conditions, I'm guessing. But
it was great on our trip.
Okay. Just depends, you know, the luck of the draw, but you did quite well on that run, huh?
Yes, it was about as easy a long ride as I've had.
Cool. So you get over there to Darwin, and
you get there at 6 in the morning, and you're in the water by 6:30.
Nice. And you spend how many days out there at this island?
You're at Darwin for 2 days, and generally the itinerary is you're in the water by 6:30, then you have breakfast, then you have a 9:30 dive, you stay suited up and do a 11:30 or 12 dive, and then you have lunch, and then you do about a 3:30 dive.
Now, Darwin, is that the island where they have the Galapagos turtles? Is that where you go on shore, or is that a different area?
No, Darwin is, like I say, it's the longest ride. There's big rock, and then there's this arch, and you basically the arch is where they let you off right before in front of it, and there's about three levels of ledges that you park on, around 40 feet, 60 feet, 80 feet, and then you move along according to that. But that's where you go, and that's the most high-powered diving of the trip, is that first those 2 days at Darwin.
Yeah, so, I mean, Darwin, it's named after the guy who came up with the theory of evolution. So did you feel that you were in the cradle of evolution when you were diving around that structure, or what?
Well, I felt very excited and just thrilled to be able to see what I saw there. It's way out there, and it's an extraordinary spot. We also do a ride around the island and around the arch and see some of the species that you wouldn't see anywhere else in the world, the certain kinds of birds and other critters.
Yeah, well, it sounds amazing. Matter of fact, you know what, Rodney, hold on. Let's take a break. I got more questions here, because if you can't tell, I'm very personally vested in this information, because I'm preparing to go to the Galapagos next year.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Maybe I should try and go, too.
Well, maybe. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I can't catch a buzz each time I dive in.
Rodney Derrick is my guest right now. He is my Explorer Ventures dive buddy from the Turks and Caicos. Just got back from the Galapagos, and that's what we're talking about, is that particular itinerary that Explorer Ventures offers. You can check it out, exploreventures.com, and plan your adventure as well. But Rodney, I want to talk a little bit more about how this itinerary runs. When we were talking before the break, the first day, at least in your adventure, ended up being on Darwin, which you say is some of the best diving of the week. You know, it's obviously inspired Darwin to come up with his theory of evolution, I guess. I don't know how that all works, but obviously you hear a lot about the marine life and the big animals that inhabit this part of the world. So it lived up to the expectation, first of all, right?
That's correct. And I've been, as you know, Greg, pretty much all over the world, and including Cocos and some other places. And this has to beat it when you beat them all when you consider the totality of the giant critters.
Nice. Now, you mentioned the whale sharks, 18 sightings just there at Darwin over a couple day period. But obviously, bringing those animals in, that would be just to see one or get a glimpse of one of those would that would make an entire trip. But it just became second hat to you guys. You probably got kind of annoyed, like, "Hey, get out of the way! I want to see something else now." Is it that common, really?
No, that isn't. Not. Everybody is extremely excited every time, and of course, everybody you try and swim with it. You know, it's a big rule: do not touch,
right?
And do not look in their eyes. But you try and swim with it and get as reasonably close as you can.
No, wait a minute. You do not look in his eyes. Don't look in the eyes of the whale shark. Why?
Well, that's just, I couldn't tell you. That's what the dive master said. Apparently, it can freak them out.
Really? All right, maybe if you make eye contact, then they think you're out to get them or something. I've actually heard spear fishermen say that about when they're trying to spear fish, don't look them in the eyes, because then they know that you're looking at them, and then they'll try to swim away. Maybe that applies to a whale shark. I don't know. But a whale shark that's 40 or 50 feet long, I don't think would have much to worry about some little ant-sized diver swimming alongside them. But, hey, they're the experts, I guess, right?
That's right.
So, whale sharks, obviously, sharks in general, Galapagos sharks, obviously, and,
giant hammerheads in large numbers.
Yeah. Now, what about all these animals? You get all these things swimming around at once, and I've seen videos from the Galapagos, so I know that it can be, a tightly, grouped, a set of animals that you're just looking around, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by all these critters. It's amazing. Did you get any sense that the animals are either less shy because they don't see as many divers, or more shy, or what? Was there any kind of attitude did you get from them, or vibe that you got from the animals?
No, generally they're just cruising, and you're there in the rocks, and even when you go out into the deep and you come upon a large number of them, they're just cruising along.
Yeah, and just not fazed by it whatsoever.
Not at all.
Yeah, interesting. But obviously it made for some amazing video and picture taken, I would imagine, for you as well, right?
Well, I'm not someone who's real expert. I generally will get one of those videos from the dive master. So I bought theirs, and also one of the other divers who was from the UK did a great video. So I have two fabulous videos.
Yeah. Now, and the whale sharks are drawn in by the plankton. They're feeding on that. Is the visibility, was it good there at Darwin? And
I was surprised how good it was. I couldn't give you an exact amount of visibility, but to me it was more than adequate. And when we would be out in the blue, it was great visibility too.
Yeah, so...
But it varies. You know, that's a condition that can change.
Yeah, nice. Okay, but it didn't affect your, you could still see everything you wanted to see and then some. That was the bottom line, whether the plankton bloom was going and creating a feast for the big animals or not. Now, we mentioned sharks, we mentioned whale sharks, obviously tons of rays, and what about the biggest stars of the entire week, which I'm guessing are the sea lions? Plenty of those, right?
Well, not really at Darwin. We saw one or two sitting around the rocks, but in terms of playing with us, that was more a question of places like Isabella Island and Cape Marshall.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that next.
Scuba Radio. Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Rodney Derrick, my guest, who just got back from the Galapagos, is on the phone. And Rodney, so sea lions, not real common there at Darwin, at least on your trip. But what, on one of the other islands, you really had some cool encounters or what?
Oh, yeah. Let me say, after Darwin, you go about 3 hours to Wolf Island, which is similar diving to Darwin, except we didn't see any whale sharks there, but it was quite similar. And you do three basic dives along. Wolf Island is considerably larger than Darwin Island, actually. And then the next day, it's a 15-hour overnight from Wolf to Isabella Island and Cape Marshall. And that's where the sea lions are incredibly playful.
Yeah, so you get in the water. Do they just start swimming up to you or what? I've never had a sea lion encounter because I've only been in the Pacific a few times, and I just haven't been in an area where the sea lions were in the water at the same time as me. So
there were several sea lions that just would spend a lot of time just going up and down and all around everybody. It was just, they were thrilling to and fun to watch.
Very cool. So that's Isabella Island.
Yeah.
So is that the place with the Galapagos turtles?
No, the Galapagos turtles are at the end of the trip, and
okay,
they're on land.
Right, right.
So we, you know, and we saw plenty of turtles at every site.
Oh, okay. So on land, you would see those big giant tortoises or whatever, or no?
Yeah, at the end of the trip, after diving at Cousins Rock, where, by the way, I saw the most amazing seahorses. I mean, I've seen seahorses in Indonesia that were very, very, very almost microscopic, tiny. But these were like 3-4 inches big. And
wow.
One was just this brilliant orange, and one was white with yellow eyes. I mean, truly astounding. And we also had sea lions at Cousins Rock and also manta rays. So after we do that...
Yeah, you just see, oh, I also had manta rays. No big deal. So what it's like in the Galapagos makes you want to go. All right, hold on. There's so much marine life to talk about when you want to go to the Galapagos, so you just can't fit it into one segment. All right.
Right.
Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, my name is Alexa from South Wales.
Wow, okay.
If you like going down like me, then here's the man to see. Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Every time I get high, you want to come by. Every time I want to get down, get down, get down.
Yeah, Yes, we are getting down here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Talking about diving in the Galapagos with my dive buddy, Rodney Derrick. I met him on a liveaboard trip with Explorer Ventures in the Turks and Caicos. And he just got back from the Galapagos adventure with that same company and sharing some of his adventure with us on the show today. So, right before the break, it's mantas. No big deal. You know, just mentioned that in passing. Manta rays. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Huge numbers.
Really?
Yeah, all types.
Wow. So mantas.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. Pretty much you get everything, every marine life animal you could ever imagine.
You've gone to paradise if you're a diver.
Yeah, when you go to the Galapagos, huh?
Yeah, there are also amazing things with smaller fish. There were these black striped salema, and it was kind of like when you swam into them, it was like you were going into a black hole, and that just swarmed and seemed to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
So,
and you couldn't even, it seemed like you couldn't even swim out of it. It was so many of these small salema.
Yeah, so those are like little anchovy-type looking things or silver sides?
Bigger than anchovies.
Bigger than anchovies, okay.
But they create almost like a black hole effect.
Yeah, like a huge bait ball or massive school of little fish, right?
Massive. In fact, several of the passengers were on the same week a year ago. And they said that it seemed like this gigantic school had doubled in size.
Really? Hmm. That's an interesting perspective. If they had been, a year ago, did they notice any different? Like it had been more prolific on your trip, or had they noticed any downgrades in anything, or that kind of thing, or what?
No, there were no downgrades. I think the main thing that was unique to me was the comment that the Salema school had doubled in size. We also had a gigantic school of big-eyed jacks followed by a bunch of bonita tuna.
Really? All right, so you're seeing the whole ecosystem, fish feeding on schools of fish, bait balls, that kind of stuff, huh?
You got it.
Wow, it sounds like you could really mark off a lot of things on the diver list on a trip to the Galapagos. Now, we mentioned the turtles, so that's at the end of the trip. What, back on the mainland, or it's not Darwin, Wolf, or Isabella Island?
After the two early morning dives at Cousins Rock, you do a three-hour transit back to the Santa Cruz Island, and it's there that you go to this farm of the giant tortoises, which are
gotcha.
Hundreds of years old. And
right, right.
Huge, huge, gigantic. And you have some free time to wander around the town of Puerto Ayora, and then you have dinner at a really nice restaurant there.
Yeah, nice. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I've heard so much about the topside attractions there on that Galapagos adventure as well because of all the bird life. The Galapagos turtles, obviously. Got to mark
iguanas.
That off. The iguanas, right. Yeah, aren't there? They got these big swimming iguanas and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I saw a lot of iguanas.
So are they just like the sea lions, or are they a little less social?
Oh, they're not as social. Basically, the first iguanas I saw were at Darwin when we were doing the panga ride right up close up to some of the rocks.
Yeah, and you're just waving to them, ready to jump in the water. I mean, but they didn't like swim amongst the divers, I'm guessing, did they?
No, they're right sitting on the rocks.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Some of the birds that are unique species, they're hanging out too on the rocks.
Well, yeah, it does sound pretty cool there, Rodney. All right, well, thanks for checking in. Really appreciate it.
Always great to talk to you, Greg.
And if you want to go to the Galapagos, just go to exploreventures.com and book it today.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of force fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, force fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes force fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of force fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
I'm through with standing on land and seas I never get in. It's like I got on my mask, but I'm missing a fin. I'll get a 3-mil wetsuit, and if it gets cold, I'll just pee.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new rig and biz as clear as gin, and a huge bathtub I can go diving in, or I'll get a dive boat big enough for 10 plus me.
Tell me what you need.
I'll need a dive card with no depth limit, and a big black sub with a bedroom in it. Gonna feel the effects of narcosis just past the depth of about 100 feet.
In there, do that.
I wanna dive all day and hang at tiki bars, working on getting my advanced e-card. Some say I'm crazy, but that's okay for divers like me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'll get a dive knife, have my buddy do the same. I'd study the sea and know every fish by name, 'cause we all wanna be just good divers. Even if people think we're shark fishing lures, the girls look good and go with the flow, as we all stay wet with scuba radio. And we'll all hang out at tiki bars, or plan a night dive out under the stars. Everything looks bigger when you look down there, and the girls don't care. Well, hey, hey, I want to be a diver. Hey, hey, I want to be a diver.
All I can say is I'm sorry. You'd think it'd be like thank you for Thanksgiving weekend, but yeah, what are you going to do? All right, so look, it is the busiest shopping weekend of the year. However, we are a scuba diving show. We are focused on diving, trying to give you an escape to the rat race, to that craziness that is out there on the streets this weekend. On the line with me, Captain Marlon Scott from the Florida Keys, and I know that it's pretty calm down there this weekend. Even though it's a holiday weekend, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, the water's still 80 degrees, Greg. It's still 80 degrees and crystal clear this last week. It was absolutely gorgeous. Lobster. Can you believe that? It's still lobster season in the Keys.
That's nice. Yeah, forget the turkey. It's time to focus on the lobster. I mean, do they do that in the Keys? Do they scrap the whole turkey and the trimmings and say, hey, we got fresh Florida lobster at our fingertips. Let's go grab some and cook it up for that holiday feast or what?
Oh, yeah. That's somewhat of a staple down here, especially after turkey. Now, you do the Thanksgiving gig, no doubt, and you by the second day, all the football games, all the beer, everything that goes through your body, you need some fresh Florida seafood. And Saturday and Sunday, the day through the weekend, is going to be absolutely fantastic. The front's blowing through. That's a major weather, Greg, come through here on during the middle of the week. And tornadoes and all that stuff. So it's out of the way. Now the great, great weather of the subtropics is taking over again.
Nice. Well, yeah, we did have a little bit of a cool front blow through Florida here just for Thanksgiving. So it kind of gave it that fall type of feel for us Floridians, which is kind of a nice change of pace. But, you know, after a couple of days, it's over. I'm done. Let's get back to our sunny, clear weather that we're used to in Florida. And down there in the Keys and closer to Key West where you are, it's just perfect year-round. It's, by the way, you know, the holidays at this time of year, I mean, obviously Thanksgiving week is a busy week for you guys down there. But then it has a tendency to slow down there before Christmas, right? And a lot of people don't come to the Keys at this time of year, but it's so much fun to head down to the Keys and, like, check out the Christmas lights and that kind of thing and literally get a Christmas Keys experience, is it not?
Oh, yeah. We celebrate Christmas down here big time. There's nothing quite like a nice, wonderful 70-degree walk out there and watching all the Christmas lights, seeing all the spectacular cottages. And, these are back from the 1900s. Some of them as late as, 1902, maybe even 1890. There's some houses there, and they decorate them up in a way that really, really brings it all full circle for sure.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been all the way down to Key West for the Christmas holidays, but even down, Key Largo and up in that way, I have come down there during this time of year and done some diving, did a little lobster and that kind of thing, and I was really impressed with all the businesses and just the houses along US 1 that would dress up in the Christmas lights and do the whole Christmas thing. I can only imagine what it's like down there in the heart of Key West off of Duval Street and some of those classic mansions they have there. That's what you're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. The Hemingway House, names that you are familiar with, they get all dolled up and they look fantastic. Another thing, too, Greg, is New Year's Eve in Key West. New Year's Eve. Now, you heard about Fantasy Fest, a little bit bohemian, no doubt.
No, wait a minute. In Key West, New Year's Eve is actually pronounced Nude Year's Eve, isn't it?
Nah, that's not a fact.
That's not true?
Not true. Not true. Hmm. Not true. That Nude Year's Eve is actually Halloween here.
Oh, okay,
and
yeah.
That's Fantasy Fest. Now,
right.
New Year's Eve, which I spent last year, right there on Duval, is really, really a blast. Clean event, family rated, if you can believe it.
Really?
Family rated. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Down on Duval Street during the New Year's Eve celebration last year was one of the cleanest events I ever went to. People minded their P's and Q's. They were drinking. They were having fun. And we had a couple different events where they were, doing the drop the ball thing. We have our own version, the conch version of drop the ball. And one of them on the other end was, of course, part of the la-ti-da crowd. So it was a little bit, I forget who it was last year, but they came down in a cup on the south side of the ball, and then on the north side of the ball, there was a whole another operation right out in front of Sloppy Joe's. So it is a blast, really. New Year's Eve in Key West. There's nothing really better. There's nothing really better. And warm.
Yeah, and warm. The weather's right. Exactly. I've never even thought about doing New Year's Eve in Key West. That actually would be a pretty cool experience. But I'm surprised to hear you say that it's toned down. It's not as raunchous as it usually is down there on Duval Street on New Year's Eve. What is the theory there? Do they do that purposely, or they're just all partied out after 364 nights of mayhem, or what?
Well, it's a common misconception, Greg, that Key West and Duval Street is truly full of mayhem. In all reality, 90% of the time, it's very contained until after 10, 11 o'clock at night. It is a place to take your family. You can do it, and especially New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve and the Christmas spirit down in Key West is as traditional as any real town throughout America.
Well, I'm not going to debate it. I think I could see that happening. It's not like it's unsafe to go there or anything, but yeah, I guess I think of all my little party adventures down there in Key West on Duval Street, usually after 10 o'clock when the mayhem has kicked in a little bit. So that's the impression I have, but I don't know, New Year's Eve in the Keys kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it?
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why, for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Let's get away from sleigh bells. Let's get away from snow. Let's make or break some Christmas, dear. I know the place to go. How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island?
And, you know, Christmas Island could be a reference to the Florida Keys. There actually are a couple of Christmas Islands. Captain Marlon Scott from Key West is with us. And, I don't know, you know about Christmas Island yourself there, Scott, or no?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Sunset Key could be considered Christmas Island. Right there off of the Mallory Square Sunset event, that island that's out there, that is really a good candidate for Christmas Island. And our island, Boot Key, where our studios are, that could be considered Christmas Island.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Captain Marlon Scott has his own little radio show that runs every Monday through Friday down there on the world's finest fishing grounds radio station. And, that would be kind of a cool place. Why not call that Christmas Island? You ought to broadcast from Christmas Island for the entire month, I say. Why not?
I think we will. I think that's going to be the plan.
Now, what about Mr. Buffett? Does he ever make his way down there for the holidays during this time of year, or do you know? I mean, there's sightings all the time, obviously.
Well, we do know many people come down to find Jimmy Buffett at Margaritaville, and they truly do feel as if they've got a chance every time they go in to Margaritaville there on Duval. And I had, in fact, a client this week that was looking for Jimmy and thought he saw him. So it's like an Elvis sighting. Except we know that Jimmy's alive and well, and there, who knows? He could be here right now on Thanksgiving weekend. He could be right down here in the beautiful city of Key West, or it could be the next week. Who knows? He comes down quite a bit, sometimes under the cloak of darkness, but he is here.
Yeah. Well, he has some recording studios down there off of Duval Street, I believe, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, actually. I believe it's off of Key West Bike. And nobody really knows which door it is, but we all have sightings of Jimmy Buffett going into a couple different doors behind the Schooner Wharf Bar. Maybe that's where it's at. We're not sure where it's at, but we know it's here.
Right. All right. Well, we have a small window of opportunity here. I'm getting the fever. I'm thinking all this talk of lobstering and heading down to the Keys during the holidays, maybe right after our little adventure in Grenada here in a couple weeks, I'm going to have to run down there and go on a lobster run. Are they walking? Have you seen any signs of plentiful lobster down there off the Keys or what?
Lots of signs off of Key West towards one of your favorite places to say, although I don't think I've had you out there yet, the Marquesas. There's many, many opportunities with lobster. You know what, Greg? Also, the water temperature is right around probably 75, 76 degrees. So, yep, lobster and warmer water temperatures in Key West. No doubt.
Any truth that they wear little Santa hats and taunt you with little miniature lobster elves?
Actually, they're the ones with the red noses. No, they have red noses.
Ah, okay, I'm definitely hooked. I'm ready to come. All right, that'll do it for this week. Remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody, and happy holidays, too.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.